It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Wow, we've got a great conversation ahead for you. Robert Stevens joins us, formerly of Best Buy. Paul Boag of Boag World. And, of course, Jeff and Gina to talk about all the Google announcements and a whole lot more. This Week in Google is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 170, recorded October 31st, 2012. No Google for you. This Week in Google is brought to you by American Express Bank FSB, offering a high-yield savings account, the perfect complement to help you reach your savings goals. To learn more and open an account online, visit personalsavings.com/online savings. Member FDIC. It's time for Twig This Week in Google. We got a big panel for you today. Let's introduce the regulars first, starting with Mama Gina Trapani of smarterware.org. That's her blog, founding editor at Lifehacker.
Hello, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. What's your costume?
I don't have one, but my six-week-old daughter has a Wonder Woman onesie on.
Aww.
So, I mean, I like you guys, but you're not nearly as cute as my kid. I just got to tell you.
Well, if a little later on she'd like to make an appearance, a little cameo.
She's taking a nap, but if you go to my Flickr, there's a picture. There's a picture of the Wonder Woman, Flickr.com/Gina Trapani. You'll see a picture of my girl. Maybe, if she wakes up, maybe we'll bring her in here.
Etta is a Wonder Woman. So no princesses for her, huh?
Not yet. Not until she requests them specifically.
She is. There's a new Disney princess, Princess Leia. So that's...
Okay.
She's not so bad. And it's easy to do with the cinnamon buns. It's very simple.
I'm good with.
Yeah.
Most versions of Leia, I'm good with.
You know, I have costumes for Ozzy, and I've been waiting all year to put them on him, and I forgot.
What?
I might have to run home and get them. He's got a bumblebee costume. He's got a Santa costume. He's got a little Mexican hat and serape.
You know, this onesie is for a six-month-old. She's only six.
She's not quite filling it out.
No, she's not filling it out.
That's all right. She'll grow into it.
You got to put on the costume.
So cute. Also here, speaking of cute, Jeff Jarvis, the chat room is wondering what color skin you'd have for Halloween. And you've decided pink.
The usual one appears. Yeah. I'd pay to see you in a onesie, Leo.
I have a onesie. I could put it on. Don't tempt me. I literally have a onesie. Isn't that in the other room? I don't know how I would get it on here. Maybe during a long... If you do a long monologue, Jeff, I shall pull my onesie on. It's a tie-dyed onesie. We also want to welcome Paul Boag, who is a longtime friend. We actually have had Paul on years ago. We were going to do an international news update, and Paul joined us for that. He is a web designer. He co-founder of the web agency Headscape in Great Britain and also of the Boag World podcast. Paul, it's great to have you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
He was in town and just thought we'd bring him in.
Yeah, I only wanted a nose round, and next thing I know, I'm on the show, which is great.
Well, I'm sure you'll have something to say. And we actually have another guest who is on his way, but he's running a little late because I guess there was a World Series and somebody won and there's a parade and I don't know what's going on. But apparently traffic in San Francisco, kind of tough. But joining us in just a few minutes, because I think he's getting close now, Robert Stevens. And you set us up with this, Jeff. He's a former CTO at Best Buy, right? The guy who invented the Geek Squad.
Invented the Geek Squad and then became CTO at Best Buy and is a very, very nice, smart, opinionated guy. I think you'll enjoy him.
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting. But first, let's get right to the news. And then when Robert joins us, we'll bring him into the game. So there was no Google announcement on Monday. We thought there would be, but because of the storm, they canceled it. However, they still pushed out all the new stuff. Maybe this would be a good time, before we go much farther, to have Gina tell us what's new at Google. What do you think? It's time for the changelog.
Yeah, you want to kick off the changelog?
Google changelog.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Lord.
This is quality show.
I wanted to do that before Robert got here.
There's a lot of stuff new this week, and I didn't even count the Nexus launch. So we'll talk about the Nexus launch separately. But a lot of little product tweaks here and there. Google Search for iOS came out, added voice functionality. Have you tried this out, Leo? It's really
yes.
cool. It's kind of like
it's
Google
Siri. Yeah.
Siri. But it's super fast. It's really good. It's kind of a Google Now-ish. So, yeah, if you just update your Google Search app on iOS, you'll be able to ask it questions through voice. If it has answers, it will read them back to you. Otherwise, it just shows you Google Search results. But it's really fast. Like, as you speak, you can see the words, the translation, you know, the words kind of update, like kind of like Google Suggest, you know, as you type. Mm-hmm. It's pretty neat. Gmail got a new compose functionality. So in Gmail now, when you click on the compose button inside the web interface, your new draft email opens up in a panel on top of your inbox. So you can actually search your inbox. You can refer to other emails as you're drafting an email inside this compose window. It's pretty neat. And when you reply as well to an email thread, there's kind of a new layout. It looks actually kind of, dare I say, Google Wave-ish. The reply kind of shows up at the bottom of the thread as you type. So, you know, you used to be able to, you know, if you hold down the shift key and click on the compose button, it would open the compose window in a new window. I'm sure that no one was actually using that feature, even though it was very useful. So you can actually now search for email while you compose an email. And I got that on my Google Apps account and my vanilla Gmail account. I just refresh my inbox and you'll get a little notification that says, hey, that we've got this new compose feature.
Not me.
No, not you, not yet.
Do you not have to apply for it?
Rolling out.
No, I just shift reloaded my inbox and I got a little notification.
Oh, there it is. Got it. Got a new compose.
Excellent. Awesome. Excellent. Google Earth for desktop. Google Earth 7 just got the new features that rolled out on mobile a while back with tour guide and new 3D imagery. I gotta say, I haven't used Google Earth on a desktop in a long time, but I downloaded Google Earth 7. And this new tour guide feature lets you click on sites of interest, and it kind of walks you through and gives you some history and pans around. It's got some new 3D imagery as well. For those of you who have Chromebooks, Chrome Remote Desktop, which is a Chrome add-on that lets you remote control another computer, came out of beta, and it has a couple new features. It supports audio feeds, real-time audio feeds for Windows machines. So if you got your Chromebook and you're on the road, you can remote desktop into your Windows machine. You can listen to your music on the way. You can also copy and paste between local and remote computers as well. So Chrome Remote Desktop out of beta.
The storm also delayed my Chromebook was supposed to arrive Monday. The least of my problems right now, but I got Sandy's no Chromebook.
Yeah, Sandy's fault.
Yes.
Google Translate got a couple new features. Reverse translation, so you can check a translation to see how well it goes back and forth between languages. Google will list translations based on frequency, so how often a word is used, and offer synonyms as well. So google.com/translate, you can try those out. And every election season, Google has a voter tools. Last week, we talked about the Explorer, the Election Explorer. There's a voter info tab now. If you go to google.com/elections, you can look up your polling places. You can check out information about the candidates. And there's quite a few different tools here on this page. But that voter info tab just launched this week as well. And that's all I got.
And that's the Google Changelog. Okay, we're gonna have to dump that at some point because this is a serious show. Thank you, Gina.
Sure.
Yeah, and you left out all the Google announcements that would have come out Monday. The big two. Well, there's three. There's Jelly Bean 4.2. Mm-hmm. There's a Nexus 4 phone, the LG. Basically, I think it's an Optimus, right? And then of course this new tablet.
Right, the Nexus 10.
Yeah, so.
And the price reduction in the Nexus 7.
That's right.
It's important, too.
Actually, germane to that, Asus Tech has just told the Wall Street Journal that Nexus 7 sales are pretty good, approaching 1 million units a month.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's, you know, this, we knew it the minute we saw it. And I think everybody did. This works.
It's a great device.
We're starting to hear early reviews of the iPad mini that maybe it doesn't work quite so well.
Well, so I even think the added, it's an inch wider, right? The mm-hmm. iPad mini?
Yeah.
And I think that's too wide. I try
it's
to say. And I went
7.9.
I,
I, I, put,
Yeah, and I put mine in the hands of people with, you know, short and stubby fingers and said, okay, now add an inch, and they all grimaced.
Is it the price or the size? You think it's the size?
I think that if you have the chance to hold the two next to each other, it'd be the size. The problem is, where do you go to hold a Nexus 7?
Right.
The other problem when it comes to the size is if they made it any smaller than that, they wouldn't have been able to go with the 1024 by 768 screen size, which means that you would have had a load of developers complaining they're having to redo their applications again. So to some extent, the iPad mini was kind of defined by the developer audience, I think. Android doesn't have those kinds of problems because there are so many screen sizes anyway that is
not
an
issue. Yeah, we're all used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got to suck it up.
Well, and people, even John Gruber, who is, no one doubts, a major fan of everything Apple, is a little down on the iPad mini. His wife said, wow, it feels like a Kindle. Ooh, the screen is terrible. Really? And there seems to be a lot of, we're going to get our mini on Friday. But it seems to be a lot of the reaction of the early reviewers is, boy, this really should be Retina. Why is it not Retina? And Google may be stealing a little march on that because while the Nexus 7 is not Retina, it's higher resolution. And now they've announced a new 10-inch tablet that is super high resolution. Mm. I think that might be the most – that's very interesting. I mean, they're going right up after Apple.
I don't think actually they solved the problem that they thought they had by keeping it at the same resolution anyway, because what's happened is you've taken, you know, the 1024 that used to be on the iPad 2 and shrunk it down for this smaller device.
Right.
And you're saying to all the developers, oh, you don't need to do anything, it'll just work. But what's happened is all the buttons have ended up so much smaller. So it's now much fiddlier to
Isn't that what Steve Jobs said? He said you'd have to sand your fingers down to use a 7-inch tablet. And maybe
that's what's happened.
He was right.
Mm.
I've been playing with the Surface RT, the Windows 8 tablet. And one of the problems with it when you get to desktop is the touch targets are really small. So they'll put Excel up on the screen, but it's no longer, you got to use the mouse and keyboard. It's not a touch device anymore. So the new Google Samsung tablet, the Nexus 10, is 300 pixels an inch. That's higher than the Retina iPad. 2560 by 1600. Is this going to have the same problem?
Well, potentially.
Because the dots are small.
Yeah. It's not such a problem if you're designing the application from scratch, you know, specifically for that device.
Gina, doesn't it resize? Doesn't it? Gina's the Android developer. Do you say the size of a control in pixels?
Oh, it's relative. On Android, you develop...
It's all relative.
It's a relative. Yeah, it's a relative
layout. So that shouldn't be a problem.
Right. You provide assets for various resolutions. So there's low resolution, medium, high, extra high. So you have to provide images that have the right pixel density. But you're not defining layouts in pixels.
Well, we'll see when this comes out. It goes for sale November 13th, $399 for 16 gigabytes, $499 for 32 gigabytes. So it's less expensive than the iPad. That's the Wi-Fi version. It's manufactured by Samsung, has a A15-based Exynos 5 chip, 1.7 gigahertz quad-core. It has a Mali T604 GPU, which you need for that kind of resolution. That's one of the reasons I think Apple revved its big iPad, because they needed some speed on that high res. Four times the pixels of a 1280 by 800 screen, which is the previous Nexus tablet. And the 300 PPI let me do the math, 36 PPI better than the iPad. Pretty impressive.
Does it just become a numbers game at a certain point? Does it? You wonder whether people do this just so they can say, oh, it's better than the iPad.
I think the iPad's good enough.
Megapixels.
Right?
Yeah. Right? It's camera megapixels, same thing.
Yeah.
I just put up a link, Leo, at the bottom of that section. Linus Torvalds had a rant on Google Plus, saying, can we please stop with the Retina crap and just call it reasonable resolution? He said, so even a $399 tablet has 2560 by 1600 pixels. Can we please just make that the new standard laptop resolution? The fact that laptops stagnated 10 years ago and even regressed in many cases at around half that in both directions is just sad.
Yeah. It is nice to have Retina, but of course the GPUs really get sluggish on that. Hey, let's welcome, by the way, our fourth, one, two, three, four, fourth panel. Well, do I count? I don't know. Fourth or fifth, depending on whether you're counting me. Robert Stevens is here. Robert, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
How are you?
Good to meet you. Can we get his mic on? He's on mic three.
Mic three. There we go.
Robert, former, not current, former CTO at Best Buy.
Former. You know, I actually, my father passed away, and I stuck around the house in Chicago to look after my mom. And 3 weeks after I left, they had fired the CEO.
Oh.
Yeah. So my timing was amazing.
So that was good.
Well, I mean, I wasn't happy that they fired him. I mean, I knew they were going to fire him, right. But I think everybody expected him to be tossed out eventually for lack of business performance, not for an inappropriate relationship with an employee.
That's right.
Now, unfortunate.
It's all rushing back to me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And founder of the Geek Squad, right?
Yes, almost 20 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. It's been around that
long? That's how good of a job I did. Everybody thinks Best Buy invented it. I was running it for 10 years before I sold it to Best Buy.
Oh, that's right.
Good yes.
It was now it's coming back to me. It was a business, and then Best Buy acquired it.
I started in college in 1994, and I ran it for 6 years, and then I called up Best Buy and said, most of my employees used to work at Best Buy, so I know you have good people. I don't know why you take forever to fix laptops. Why don't we join forces?
Like
having a Starbucks inside of a Barnes & Noble. Oh. And we dated for 2 years before we got married. Which
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So,
and Robert has now gone from the Geek Squad white shirt, black tie to a San Francisco hip black t-shirt.
I'm too old like to be that. Hipster, so I can't. I have no Warby Parkers. I can't be held to any of that stuff. Thank you, though, Jeff.
Too old for a hipster.
I'm glad you have electricity.
You're never too old for a hipster, Robert. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So we've been talking about Google's non-announcement. They just slipstreamed all this stuff out since they couldn't have their big event. Do you use any tablet in particular, Robert? Is there one?
I'm all Apple. I mean, as a tech support person, you want to buy a car, talk to a mechanic. You know, ask my wife who doesn't really like technology. And we used to have, you know, HPs and all of the crap in the house and Linksys routers, and none of it worked.
Get rid of the HPs. I agree.
I tell people, right, you know, Geeks will make more money off of you if you do not own Apple products. It's as simple as that.
That's funny. My brother-in-law wanted to buy a computer a couple of years ago, and I said, well, I would buy a Mac. If you can buy anything you want, but only expect support if you buy a Mac, because I'm not going to help you if you buy Windows. God help you.
Well, it's still a problem, actually. I mean, I see a lot of the perception issues. You know, during the 90s, you know, Microsoft Windows was a better operating system, you know, but starting with OS X. But that perception in people's minds is still that Windows is better. And the perception also is that Apple's expensive. And I'd say, you know, $499 for an iPad kind of blows that all out of the water.
You played with the new Windows 8 Surface stuff?
No, not really.
I like it. Yeah. I actually have to say I like it. There's lots of issues, you know, so generation one product.
The hardware is awe-inspiring, I got to say. The keyboard, I got to get points for that.
I like Metro.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm rooting for him. I mean, I was, before I left, you know, I really was trying to convince HP not to dump Palm. I thought, you already paid for it. And developers were saying at the time they would consider WebOS in like their top three. It was a decent operating system. I think it's probably going to be a couple of years. So these, some of the, not all will survive, but they will rebuild the ones that survive, will rebuild their software acumen to do this. I just don't know how the whole OEM thing's going to play out with Microsoft doing hardware too. So that'll be interesting to see. But I hope they do well.
I've got huge respect for them. You know, they've taken a brave step with Metro. It's very different to what was there before. And I think that is a big thing to do when you've got this huge user base of people that have been using your software happily for years to step out and do something completely different. Whether you like it or not, you've got to respect them for being brave enough to do that.
I feel like they had to. I think that They recognized the writing on the wall, that Apple was eating their lunch, that the world had changed. It was a post-PC world. But to their credit, they bit the bullet. I mean, it was not an easy shift to make when you have such a successful incumbent all right, well, we're gonna go touch. We're going to go tablet. We're going to go portable.
And they didn't do the easy thing, which was to follow Apple. You know, Metro is taking a very different direction in its user interface than Apple has. And I think that's brilliant. I think that's really brave of them. You know, they haven't gone down the schemorphic route.
Apparently Apple's turning back from that dead end.
Thank goodness
Thank
for that.
God.
Yeah. But, you know, and I think it's great that Microsoft are moving in the direction they are. Will it be a success? I don't know. But at least it's nice to have something out there that doesn't look like, you know, either an Apple product or a knockoff of an Apple product.
You know, Robert, you mentioned WebOS. Did you see that LG, which was making a Google TV-based smart TV, is apparently considering WebOS for a smart TV? I don't. I like WebOS. I wonder how it'll be in a TV interface.
Well, the WebOS, you know, if it were to even be viable, would probably have to be obviously updated and retooled. But I think in the end, you'll see, you know, not everybody can have their own ecosystem. But I think you'll see.
They do now. Samsung, yeah. LG, everybody. Yeah.
Well, the whole Bata and all that other stuff is silly.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in terms of like what we see in integration with iOS, I could see like an average max of like 3 consumer operating systems and maybe an additional 2 that also have more enterprise blend.
What are the 3?
For companies.
Android or Chrome OS?
I don't count Chrome OS.
I don't either.
Anything.
I don't either.
I have to tell you something else. Now that I'm for Best Buy, I can say whatever I want. I worked for years. I told Eric Schmidt, I said, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't know what an Apple store would look like. Now
right,
we do.
Right.
What would a Google store look like? It
That's
would look
a
like
question.
A Best Buy. I said, why don't we partner up and put a black cube in
Robert?
The center of the store? But what I found out is that there's not one Google. There's 4,000 of them. Like,
right.
I used to be all
Same
Google.
With Microsoft, though.
I used to be Google Notebook. But I pay for Evernote now. But I only trust companies that focus.
Yeah.
And Google TV, I told them, I said, we could sell more Google TVs for you. The day they bought Android, back in 07, I went to Best Buy and I said, let's go all in on Android. Every picture frame, every TV. We were going to sell Mike Arrington's Crunch Pad. See, we were in secret negotiations.
Like,
And then Arrington threw up his hands and said, I give up. Robert, the war's over. Apple won. I'm like, don't give in the fight. But
Why not? Because Apple was doing its own retail thing. You needed to find a new niche. I mean, there were Apple stores in Best Buy.
Best Buy's not going to win trying to beat Walmart on price, and you're not going to beat Apple on design, and neither is Microsoft either.
Right.
Microsoft should be, you know.
Should they be? Where's their niche?
I think if you believe in the theory there's a creator, an intelligent designer in the universe who has set your life in motion. And
Johnny Ive, I think.
That's Apple. If you understand Darwin's natural selection by many life forms randomly mutating, that's Android. And that's also good. I think Microsoft could be a blend where they're more open than Apple, but they're more consistent than Google.
Yeah. I think that's where they are right now. That's exactly
right. And I think that's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But like Google, let's look at Google Voice. I use it, but I have now only using it to transcribe voicemails. You still can't do MMS. You still can't do international text. I hope Larry continues to be more disciplined and design worthy because they have been so unfocused on everything.
Well, that was kind of we were talking about Chrome OS last week, and I was bitching about it. And of course, Jeff has now decided he's going to go all Chrome OS just to see how it is.
Just to push it.
But somebody came to me after the show and said, you know what? The main point you should have brought up is they've got two OSs, and Android is in every way superior to Chrome OS.
It is. It is really true, and I'm dreading that. That's the one thing I'm dreading is that I'll be used to doing one thing on my Nexus 7, and then another thing on the Chromebook. And
why not just do all Android? That's a real operating system.
Yeah.
It's good enough to be on the desktop.
Yeah. Here's the problem. I thought about that because you can get the Asus tablet with, you know, which is very much like the Microsoft, probably the model for it, right, with the clickable keyboard and all that. But the applications on Android aren't quite as robust as the Chrome applications and as, I don't think. And so if I'm trying to do some serious business stuff, I'm just fearing it's not going to be as good. And part of this, too, I want to go back to the retail thing that Robert was raising a second ago. And I talked to Robert's former colleague, Barry Judge, who was then CMO of the company, about this before they went out and visited with Google, and I talked to Google people. I think that Google should have a retail presence. Best Buy, you know, imagine if you had a Google corner. There's now a poor guy in a white shirt standing by Chromebooks looking lonely in various Best Buys.
And airports, too, by the way. They've taken over from the Hare Krishnas.
Buy an Android, buy a Chromebook, boom, a Chromebook.
No, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I derailed.
But imagine if you had, Google is cool to people. If you had a place where you could go touch Google things and Google stuff and play with Google games and things like that, it makes sense. It's not, you know, and they don't have it. So what we were talking about before, if you want to compare a Nexus 7 to a Kindle Fire to the Microsoft thing to an iPad mini, you can't unless you have a friend who has one. That's absurd.
I just saw this on Gadget. Somebody in the chat room. Thank you, Kevin in Dublin. Samsung is making a dock for the Galaxy Note 2, which is, of course, the giant phone that. By the way, how do you like my sporty white leather case?
Very fashionable.
It's like real skeuomorphism.
I made an error somewhere in the ordering. Anyway.
That's two cows.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. This is so bad. But anyway, the this goes with my white buck shoes that I'm wearing and my white belt. But there, Samsung is making a dock for this thing with HDMI, two USB ports, a speaker port out.
That's
that will this will essentially turn it into a desktop computer.
I wish the Nexus 7 had that. I'm kludging together a keyboard for the Nexus 7. I would love that.
Now, see, when I see products like this, I don't think, oh, I'm a design snob. They'll never make it. The way I look at this is exactly another life form.
That's
in
what
this,
it is.
In this Darwinian model.
You nailed it.
Sooner or later, Samsung and LG will bump into something genius, and that's how they do it. Apple is intelligent design.
It's survival of the fittest. Yeah.
The consumers will win, and it'll increase choice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Microsoft, we figured it out, as the Scientologists.
Yeah, something. I mean, choose whatever metaphor you like.
Outer space.
Does that really work? I mean, they've been saying this for years about, you know, open source and about all kinds of different things. That if you just kind of open it up and you let everybody do stuff, then something wonderful is going to appear at the end of it. And I'm not actually sure that works, because oftentimes the people that are developing all these gizmos and gadgets and add-ons and extras and all the rest of it are developers. They're people with an engineering background or a coding background. They're not somebody that's focused on design. And I think that why Apple's approach works so well is because you've got people, it's being driven by design rather than technology. So I'm not convinced necessarily that we are going to see some kind of wonderful evolved creature come out of the other end of this, because I think sometimes you do need somebody to design the creature, personally. But
well, that's Johnny Ive, and that's the Apple way, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I agree with you.
But that's a device, not an ecosystem.
Design, though, is merging, you know, technology, and I don't mean to, like, say that programming is going to become a commodity.
Right.
But, you know, storage like Amazon are helping to make that some of a commodity. Design is one of the differentiating factors. Mm. It's part of – I don't distinguish now for – I don't think you can be a great developer without having some either design talent or focus, because absolutely you won't survive.
I mean, obviously I'm biased being a designer. But that's why I quite like what Microsoft are doing, because, like you say, they're kind of a hybrid. They're halfway in between, where they're much more open than Amazon, much more open than Apple, which kind of encourages innovation. But they still seem to have some kind of design direction behind them. So if I was putting money at the moment on the major competitor with Apple, I have to say I would say Microsoft rather than Google.
Oh.
But
wow.
That may be completely naive of me.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Even in the accent doesn't rescue that.
Doesn't rescue that one.
Here's another way to agree with you.
It's like the Geico Gecko.
Regardless of how well Microsoft does or doesn't do, there's room for at least three major ecosystems.
Yeah,
there's room.
So those are the three that you predict: Microsoft, and Android.
Well,
do you know which ones
I would have
–
if HP, when they got
WebOS
rid of –
WebOS had a chance.
Before they got rid of Leo or whatever, I didn't know anything about him. But when they had WebOS and John Rubinstein was there, and I thought if they had developer interest, there was room for that third one beyond Android. Now it's going to be Microsoft. But there'll always be a battle for three, no matter how strong a fourth one is. So that's another way. Google and Apple don't have to lose for Microsoft to do okay.
No, absolutely. But I think the other thing, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, one of the things that concerns me about Google is their lack of focus, as you were saying. You know, it's almost like Yahoo all over again, that they're going in so many different directions that they're lacking focus. I feel like Microsoft have almost passed through that era. Of you know, where they're beginning now to feel a little bit more focused to me in certainly in their design aspects. You're shaking your head.
Yesterday, Ballmer said, Apple hasn't actually made a product yet that consumers use. Like
Ballmer said that?
Yes, Google it.
What world is he living in?
Exactly. As long as
100 million iPads, but no one's using them.
Exactly. That he said something to that effect, almost verbatim, yesterday.
Unbelievable.
And of course he's going to say that, but I think you're forgetting that there are decades of cultural inertia at that company that have yet to play themselves out. I don't know that they could sustain anything they're releasing right now.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, what am I? I'm just a designer. What do I know about these things? I just looking at some of the stuff Microsoft are doing, I'm more encouraged at the direction that they're going than I have been for a long time.
That
well, fear is a good motivator, and it's a good way to get focused, right? When you're scared about someone else doing something really well that you haven't been able to pull off.
On the other hand, looking over your shoulder is a pretty bad way to design technology.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's why it is pretty cool. I mean, I think the point that Metro is something new and different. I think that Microsoft definitely deserves credit for that.
I agree.
But you know, Leo, you said
you're using an iPhone.
Sorry. Leo, you said you really like the Surface. I'm curious to know, is that going to be your tablet? Is that going to be your primary tablet?
No.
Don't like it that much.
That's crazy. Don't go crazy on me.
Yeah. Lots of reviewers said they liked it, but is anyone really going to use it full time?
You could easily use it full time. But the problem I have with it is it isn't a tablet. It's really just a very small laptop. I'm going to bring it to Australia. You know, I should mention that this show will be handled by others for the next couple of 3 weeks because I'm going to go on a geek cruise leaving on Sunday. I am going to bring that. I'm going to bring an iPad mini. I'm not going to have an iPad fourth generation by then. So I'll bring the old iPad, a Galaxy Note 2, a Galaxy Nexus 7, which will be useless because there's no Wi-Fi on the ship. And then I'll bring a Windows 8, which is also Surface RT, which is also useless without Wi-Fi.
So when I go on conferences and things like that now, I mainly just take my iPad.
I noticed that's all you're using. It's interesting. This might be a good measure because people who do panel shows usually bring their own computers or devices. Far more and more are bringing iPads, often with keyboard.
I was going to say that what I haven't got on the desk here is the Logitech ultra thin keyboard.
Right. But I would say if that's what you're doing, then you should look at Surface RT because I think it's exactly that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's basically a tablet with a keyboard.
The keyboard is better designed. Yeah.
I love the touch keyboard.
You can use it as a tablet.
Well, yeah, that's a little weird feeling when you do that because you've got keys on the you're holding keys.
Well, that's true.
It's kind of, and they say you can do that, but it doesn't feel right that you've got, even though the keys aren't live, I'm typing. It's not good.
What's the keyboard actually feel like?
Well, I wish I had brought it today. I didn't. So there's two keyboards. There's what they call the touch keyboard, which doesn't move at all. It's just keys painted on a plastic surface. Do you have yours? Is Alex here? He might have
the touch keyboard is like halfway between a screen keyboard and a real keyboard.
Yeah, so it's like chiclets. It's chiclets, right?
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't move at all. I got the type keyboard. I mean, this is close. I mean, it feels like it could be, but
I couldn't.
No, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't buy that.
And then, but then there's the which was wild. There's the type keyboard, which actually has moving keys and is probably no different than
very thin. Very nice,
Is this a magnetic detach?
Yeah, very good magnetic.
Now here's what I'm wondering: like when it's magnetic detached, that felt like something that's clearly patentable by Apple. And how does Microsoft so quickly get something that's obviously so close to what?
Let's see if Apple sues. It's much better.
Wow.
You can't do that with a smart cover on an iPad.
So
I'm shaking.
I went by the Microsoft store in my mall the day it was all announced, and your Scientology reference is apt because it was like they were cultists all trying. They were trying to get
one
people to come
us.
In. It was so sad and so
one
desperate.
So
Marco wrote a sad post
about
that.
You know, Marco, though, I read his posts, but it was a little snarky. It was unnecessarily snarky.
I agree. I'm not a big fan of making fun of people who make $14 an hour in a demo new software. I mean, it was a little rough, but he did make some, points about.
Some of the points were very well taken. By the way, this is how Jeff.
Well, he said they were all very nice.
You wouldn't want to hold this. And the other thing is, this is because it's 16:9. It's a strange way to hold it in portrait. It feels odd. It also, even though it is not heavier than the iPad, feels heavier than the iPad. And even though it's not thicker, much thicker than the iPad because it's square, it feels thicker than the iPad. Nevertheless, I think this is comparable to carrying around an iPad and a keyboard. And by the way, the touch keyboard is very good. I like the touch keyboard a lot.
You guys are giving all the attention here, which I'm not blaming you, to the Microsoft announcement and to the Apple announcement. And Google blew it. They were going to hold it.
We were trying to. I got derailed.
And I was going to go and all that, but they just fizzled. And I think it's a bigger announcement than they are getting credit for right now.
Well, I do. What do you think is the biggest story? The Nexus 4, this high-res Nexus 10 tablet?
$299 for an unlocked.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Super phone. is with pretty amazing.
Charger, that wireless charger is so cool. Oh, I want yes. that so bad.
Is it an induction charger like the?
I think so.
Like
yeah.
the power mat.
I so want that on. Yep.
Yeah, I think
Apple
so.
Devices.
Huh. How long before you?
By the way, can I just point out Windows Phone has that and has had that for some, you know. Okay, never mind.
No, we're moving on from.
Never mind.
Never mind. No, but, and Android 4.2 is really cool. The calling.
Yeah,
of
let's
the
talk about that.
Jelly Bean.
Yeah. yeah. It is yeah. not Key Lime Pie. It is the new flavor of Jelly Bean.
Right. And it's got swipe typing. So it's kind of like swipe. So you drag your finger from letter to letter to type, supposedly better and faster. It's got these not panoramic photos, but I forget what they're calling them. You basically can take photos kind of in a 360 area and it stitches them together.
They're called photospheres.
Photospheres. Thank you, Chad. And user switching, which... You know, I got to tell you, that's going to be great. I mean, we leave the Nexus 7 laying around the house, and my wife and I, you know, share it. And it'll be awesome just for her to be able to switch to her desktop, her home screen, and for me to switch back to mine.
Yeah.
Microsoft, by the way, did Photosynth. It still is available on iOS. That does the Photospheres. That's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget the Palm Pre did the inductance charging, as long as we're talking history. This looks cool, though. One of the features of 4.2 is daydream mode. So when you plop your Nexus 4 on the little thing, it goes into daydream mode and shows photo albums, news from Google Currents, and other content. It's a chumby.
Yeah, this charging sphere looks like they took a Nexus Q and kind of sliced it down the middle, and it's got magnets in it, and you can put the phone in portrait or landscape, and then it goes in that daydream mode. Oh, and Google Now actually got, and I should have included this in the changelog. Yes. Google Now got an update.
Yes.
Now shows you cards from Gmail and gives you other answers, and I think you can get that on 4.1 Android 4.1 devices and up right now. I can't wait to get 4.2. onto my Galaxy Nexus.
I'm still not getting good stuff from Google Now. I didn't complain about it last week. I go into every possible setting. If anybody out there has, I've turned it on. Somebody came in and said, I got to turn it on in my preferences.
You're holding it wrong or something. Because look what I got. Now, this is completely spontaneous. It's now giving me a card for stocks that change more than 1% in a day. Facebook down 3.79% when the stock market reopened this morning. Apple down $8.
It knows my stocks, and I didn't get that.
Yeah, this is it. It's telling me that some packages have shipped from Amazon. I didn't tell any of this stuff. What temperature it is? My next show. It showed me the Niners score, but I swiped that off because I've seen. You know, it was done.
I tied it to. I changed all my accounts last week, so the only thing that's left on my old plain old Gmail account is Google Plus. Everything else, my phone. Google Now, my browsers, everything else is my apps account, and I'm not getting crap on now.
I'm loving Android more and more. Jelly Bean is great. I can't wait to see 4.2.
Does Google Plus allow you, by the way, to do multiple Google Hangouts of multi-party on mobile, or is it just person to person?
I think it's just person. Should we try?
No, you can have a group.
You can do a group.
Yeah, you can join a group, but can you host?
Can I host a group?
Good probably question.
Not. I can't even find how to do it. It's so hard, so buried. Where do I? How do I? Oh, never mind. I can never find this. So
you like it more and more, but you can never find.
I don't use Google Plus.
All right.
Well, at least they finally made Chrome the default browser in Android now, right?
Chrome is the default browser in Android 4.2 now.
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, I think so.
Yeah,
Chrome
yeah.
is a great browser.
Love Chrome.
Yeah.
See, that's where it's smart. Where you have Android as like your native operating system. And then you've got Chrome as like the backup. That's one thing I try to get Sundar Pichai to do is to say, hey, Best Buy sells like 25% of all laptops. Every computer that goes out the door, let's put a second OS on there. So if your Windows crashes,
you could boot
to a second, you know, 100 meg partition.
So put Chrome OS in ROM.
Tried to talk him into it. I'll do this for like no charge. You know
why they didn't do it? Because it deprecates it. It says, this is just your backup OS. It's not a real OS.
They want it to be a real OS. Go ahead.
Good luck with that.
Get your googleback.com?
Yes. This is for Windows 8.
Windows 8 users.
But it doesn't work for RT.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Okay.
So it's kind of a bummer. They only have a Metro app for the desktop version. Get your Google back. The problem was, of course, that you don't have a Google search widget on Windows 8. So you can put Google on your start page with the Google search app. But it is not for Windows RT. And I think Google better hurry up and make one for Google RT. Windows RT, not Google RT. Getyourgoogleback.com.
How long before there's a This Week in Surface? Has that come up yet?
We're launching it, actually. What, December? We're calling it Turning the Tiles.
So I like This Week in Tiles better.
It won't be... That's... Yeah, it could be This Week in Tiles. We actually aren't sure, but yeah, we are going to launch a show. But it won't be Surface. It'll be Metro, but we can't call it Metro.
And RT.
It won't be just RT because it'll be Windows 8 and Windows Phone, right?
This is my point. Microsoft has not changed.
Yeah, they're the same. Yeah, it's still fragmented as hell. Yeah. But so is Google. I like your metaphor, Robert. I love that metaphor. Yeah. Intelligent design, Apple. Evolution, Google. Microsoft, we still...
Scientology's a...
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's
all right,
close.
So keep going here. So that means that Steve Jobs is God. Larry Page is Moses. And...
Every person at Google is a mindless slug that is just running.
Darwin.
It's Darwin. God, there is no intelligence. Right. It is just...
I think it's
pretty
accurate.
Because the PageRank algorithm actually mimics, how insects use chemicals to find food.
Reproductive mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so thus, Steve Ballmer is necessarily, what's his name?
L. Ron Hubbard.
Scientology.
I think that's very apt. He's L. Ron Hubbard.
It works, right? It works, yeah.
Now, the weird thing is that Google's, though, all their evolutionary motive is powered by this parallel universe called advertising revenue
that
funds all their distractions.
Right. So in real evolution, it's the reproduction of the gene. In Google, it's the reproduction of the ad.
They just want the link. Yeah,
they just give us the link.
Data. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think that's very apt. And it is exactly how Google works, which is why they can just – all they have to do is generate. They have to be generative. They don't have to come up with good, just generative.
The more we use the net, the more they make.
Yeah.
Well, the
most beautiful business model there is.
There's a certain, there's only a certain amount that consumers can absorb of functionality. There's a lot of things that even iOS does that most users aren't even aware of. And nothing breaks my heart more than just this afternoon, I gave my wife her new iPhone 5. I'm like, look, it does this. She's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So this is where Android and Microsoft can actually make inroads to people because it's good enough. Like, I really wish I had the new, is it called Field Trip?
I love it.
I've been waiting for years.
It's annoying, but I love it. I'm going to use it in Australia. I can't wait to try it. Now, so if Google is evolution, the survival of the fittest, Darwinianism, then I think France must be Tennessee.
Listen, here's my view on France. Every country has their different take on fermented spirits and chicken and fish. But I know of no culture, no pun intended, that can take bacteria, stick it in a cave, and come up with blue cheese. The French win.
The French win on that regard, in that account. After meeting with Eric Schmidt, France stands by its threat to write a law forcing Google to pay to link to news sites.
I was on France 24 for a so-called debate on Monday as the storm was coming through. I was already in a bad mood, and the French got me in a really bad mood. Started yelling at them.
It's François Hollande. I don't know. I don't think Sarkozy, as bad as he was, I don't think even he would have done this.
No, this is beyond
stupid. This is the socialist Hollande.
And they keep going around trying to argue that, well, they make money on our content, or we have to make money from content. Well, no, they don't. They send you options. We deserve the content is expensive. Well, I don't care. They have a better business model. They're competitive. Then they dropped that whole line in the debate and said, well, Google doesn't pay its taxes here. It pays it in Ireland. We need to get taxes out of them. We just need money out of them.
I don't even know why Google's arguing. Just pull out. Just stop linking to news sites.
And finally, Google has threatened to. Finally, Google has gotten some cojones.
You want us to pay? We're not going to pay, so we'll stop linking to sites. Good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
They already took on China, and that didn't really work out so great for them. But they don't really care. It's... Yeah,
they don't need a link to French news sites. In effect, the French newspaper will disappear under the waves, and then that'll be it. It'll be goodbye, right?
Jeff, someone on Twitter said that he was seeing a whole different Jeff Jarvis on TV than he saw on Twig, and I wanted to respond that no, that is you, but we just soften you a little bit.
So were you like really harsh?
Yeah, I finally just had it because I'm also screaming at them. I'm the only guy on Skype. And they're in the studio, and I just started going after
them. Is there video of this anywhere? I really want to see this.
They were using Google Translate to translate you, until it only came across as half as a disturbing.
Jeff speaks an interesting form of French. Did you speak French?
No, I don't speak any French. I still get credit for saying a German word right. No, it's underrelated after the meeting with Eric Schmidt there. there's video. It's long, but maybe you can just randomly fast forward.
I would really like to just get a clip of you fuming.
I think it was Elgin said I was throwing truth grenades. I just had it with him.
Awesome.
Truth grenades.
But nobody on the panel saw it your way.
One woman did, defending kind of the new media way to look at it. But the other guys were just so, it was just so entitled. We are the industry. We should be protected and covered. And I said, why should you deserve that protection? You don't deserve it. Well, just because Google makes more money and competes with you, that means you should take money from them. Because you screwed up? Sorry.
That's a kind of, for better or worse, that is a kind of French attitude. It's a cultural difference. It. You know, they have this very different attitude towards things like this. And I don't agree with them, but, you know, it's their right if they want to throw a wobbly over this and Google will pull out and that'll be the end of it.
Here's Jeff. You look just as pink on French TV as you
do. I know, yes.
Can you hear him? Is it me? I'm having that thing.
I have it.
Go ahead.
Pull it up.
Chad's got a better way.
What should happen right now is Robert Stevens should swoop in and fix it for you.
No, actually, I would like to dub my voice in and guess what you're saying. But, monsieur, I could disagree completely.
Was this all in English?
It's French.
Clearly carrying the product of the devil. You couldn't have this many Bibles. Done that way.
Oh, he's referring to Gutenberg, ladies and gentlemen.
Again with the religious.
Google is sending again with the Gutenberg people to media every year, and it's up to media to then do something about that in the form of serving those people well.
People pay us good money to send traffic to their websites in ads.
There's no reason to say that the old industry has to be protected by society when a new technology comes along, but we're seeing old media and government institutions threatened by the internet joining together with this kind of Luddite efforts in Germany with the Leistungsschutzrecht there.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. He threw in the Leistungsschutzrecht.
An absurd, laughable, but we're not so potentially dangerous.
Why potentially dangerous?
Oh, this was fun. This is fun.
I'm not going to speak to you. I'm not going to say a word to you.
Because if suddenly you could be taxed for you can make.
And what is the? Is it random video they're showing?
Yeah, no, they had whenever they.
I hate TV.
Whenever they cut to Jeff, it was random B-roll off to the side.
This picture is mad, so we're going to show you random B-roll. So you don't get bored.
I felt really to distract people from listening to what he's saying. Yeah. That's what it is.
At the very end, I took my webcam and I said to the journalist, if I put it up my window, and I said, we don't need you to tell us it's raining here in New Jersey.
I love it. Jeff, you're the best. So let's take a break. We've got a good panel here. Jeff Jarvis and Gina Trapani, as usual, from Boag World. It's Paul Boag, web entrepreneur and visitor to the Brick House. Nice to have you.
I know. It's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Also, former CTO and founder of the Geek Squad, Robert Stevens. What are you up to these days, Robert?
I just got my family settled here in San Francisco.
Oh, you moved out here?
Yeah, I moved 2 months ago and I live in the city. And my daughter's out of high school, so it was either now or wait 4 years. And I'm taking a year off, and then I got a few things I'm thinking about doing, but I won't be going back to any large corporations.
Future angel investor.
Robert Stevens. I would be a horrible investor. I plan on funded Geek Squad myself, and I plan on funding my next startup all by myself.
Do your own thing. Good, so you're going to stay an entrepreneur. Good for you. Yep. Yeah, that's great.
We,
as they say.
Maybe.
Our show today brought to you by American Express Bank, FSB. We all think we should save more, right? But this is a way to do it easily, simply, and at a very high return. Go to personalsavings.com/online savings right now and take a look at the current rate for the American Express Savings Bank. It's a great idea as an adjunct to what you're already doing. You can set up a savings account, automatically transfer funds from your existing bank accounts. You're not switching banks, but you're getting the ability to keep track of your balance via phone or web 24/7. No minimums, no fees, great phone support whenever you want to talk to somebody, and an APR that is higher than your bank's. I'm pretty sure of that. A great complement to your existing financial tools. Give it a try. The American Express Personal Savings High Yield Savings Account. Learn more today at personalsavings.com/online savings. Open an account while you're there. There are no minimums. Put a few bucks in. Watch your money grow. No need to switch banks. All you need to do is get started right now and start saving. PersonalSavings.com/online savings. American Express Bank, FSB. Member, FDIC. I've always wanted to say that. Member, FDIC. Batteries not included. And we thank American Express for seeing the light on new media. Support them because they're supporting us. It's really great. Moving along, I think we're done with France. It's obvious their folly.
What, the whole nation?
They make the great blue cheese, and that's about it. Google is testing same-day delivery for shoppers. This is something we'd heard Amazon was doing.
Yeah, this is the real war.
Now the war. This is where the war.
What does this do to Best Buy, Robert?
Oh, this is great news for every physical retailer.
What?
This is huge news for every physical retailer. The one thing that beats free, again, if you're going to compete against Walmart on price, you're going to be dead.
Right.
And if you try and compete against, you know, Amazon on pure digital, you're not going to win. But the one thing that beats free overnight shipping is in stock near you right now. And Google, and I can tell you there's probably at least 10 startups right here in the Bay Area that are working on same-day dispatch because Airbnb, Uber, Instacart, Postmates, they're all dispatch algorithms.
Yeah.
And that's going to commoditize it and make it as easy as cloud computing for a small little sports shop that focuses on what they sell
nice.
To make their inventory digital. And Square is going to help digitize people's inventory. So over the next couple of years, this is great news. You know, Expedia didn't put travel agents out of business. They put mediocre travel agents out of business. The good ones that survived focused, wedding tourism, ecotourism. Same thing will happen with technologies like this.
Let me understand this, Robert. So what you're saying is that rather than putting a retailer out of business, this now makes their inventory able to be delivered same day through a merchandising platform such as Google and eBay and through a delivery platform like what Airbnb is building. Is that what you're saying?
If you look at what eBay's done, and I think they've actually done a brilliant job of their acquisitions of Magento and GSI. I met with John Donahoe a year ago. The first thing he said to me, he goes, we're not a competitor to Best Buy. We want to enable commerce. And, you know, not every little retailer is going to be able to build their own stack. So they're going to use Square and other services like same-day delivery, which is vetted with reputation systems and varying levels of quality. This is where Uber could become a verb, be it much beyond black car service.
Yeah.
And, so Amazon will have stock.
I Ubered by toilet paper today.
Stock.
No, in fact, this is what they say. Google is not intending to operate warehouses or a shipping service.
Right,
but
so it won't have stock.
They
Amazon
want to team up with retailers and delivery companies.
Now, here's my prediction. Google came to us, as with everything else, Google Wallet. And they only call you when they want something. My prediction, Google will have a lot of money. They'll make a big splash. They will not execute very well, especially on this. This is a company that doesn't even have an 800 number. Try and get them on the phone.
Yeah.
You think they're going to do well in the physical world? I will trust a company that's more like an Evernote or an Uber that focuses on
or Amazon,
yeah.
Right? Does Amazon have a head start here?
I think you're going to see, again, a blended version. One is where it's either high-end or they're independent contractors who may show up in a jean and a T-shirt, but they'll get the product to you. They may not be dressed very nicely. I also really love these
lockers. Like a courier.
Yeah, or these locker systems. In fact, I predict that they're going to sell one. I would buy one. Imagine like a 3-foot cube that you could lock outside your house on the side of your house, and it could be unlocked with disposable codes for the UPS guy to drop
that. I would like that because I miss a lot of deliveries. That's a good
idea. You're going to see. I bet there's at least one or two startups. I know one is doing it like that. They're doing like the cart systems for that.
So if I had a Google locker in my front porch, things would arrive in there.
Again, I don't think
it's like kind of like the mailman.
Yeah.
Or the milkman.
Well, which needs replacing anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
replaces the mailman. So the Postal Service, not to go off on a tangent here, but the Postal Service is becoming purely an advertising delivery mechanism.
Right.
It is
it's
for
just
mail.
Crap.
That's
right
what it does.
Now. It's circular.
So there are opportunities. The only growth area in delivery is parcels and deliveries. And it's super growth if you can now take the things you used to drive to and have them come to you. Gina, you as a new mom, are you ordering things in more? Less going to store?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't want to go to even if Amazon has boxes at 7-Eleven, which they're doing in some areas, and I can go pick up my stuff, I want it at my doorstep.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get in the car at all.
I don't want to leave the house.
But personally. See, that's why I think brick and mortar is kind of troubled. Yes, people go to brick and mortar because they need toilet paper now or a diaper now. But wouldn't it be great if you could go online, order the diaper, and still have it now? Isn't that what we're trying to get to?
Yes. If something can be ordered better and easier and faster and less expensive online, it will be. But there is something about browsing. Now, not every category of things, like consumer electronics, not everything that's sold in the Best Buy is going to just remain in Best Buy even with same-day delivery. I'm not saying that at all. But new kinds of retail. Physical retail has a lot of life left. It's a very social experience.
Well, that's what Jeff's been talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. You know, listen, when the CD-ROM first came around, they said, oh, it's the death of the book. And, you know, there's still books in bookstores. When the DVD came out, they said, it's the death of the movie theater. Right. I'm seeing more creativity and nice plush chairs and better food at movie theaters. So I'm not worried about physical retail. It's going to kill the mediocre retailers. And that'll create a glut of real estate. But, you know, if you believe that there's a retail god that smiles down upon little shopkeepers, GPS and same-day delivery are just the beginning of good things for them and Square.
If they can figure out how to capitalize, if they can be that quality shopkeeper that knows how to take advantage of this.
Yeah, well, you know, like the food truck movement's very interesting because now people who are saying, I don't have enough capital yet to start a restaurant.
But
so they start with a food truck, build up their name, and then become a physical restaurant. Mm. In Minneapolis, they're doing a light rail right now, and there's this one Jamaican restaurant that got shut down because the construction ruined their business. So they converted to a food truck for 2 years until the street is restored. So that's what's so cool right now because you just can kind of go any direction you want.
You'll love San Francisco. We have a little event every week where all the food trucks gather.
Off the grid.
Yeah, off the grid. You know about it
already. Yeah, I'm hip to that, man.
You're hip, man. You're with it. You're doing it, man. He's already there.
I got my bread from Tartine, and I got my Mission Bicycle Company.
How long have you been here?
2 months, man.
Man, you just really acclimated. Where were you from originally?
I've been watching the show for years. Where do you think I learned all this stuff?
Off the grid is really fun. It's all the food trucks gather, and it's a food bazaar. And it's amazing. This is the one in the Upper Haight on Thursdays, right there at Golden Gate Park at the Panhandle. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Makes you hungry just thinking about it.
There's a few food trucks here in San Diego, but nothing quite like that event.
No, we used to call them roach coaches, right? It was like you didn't really trust what you were going to eat there. Now it's like gourmet. It's the creme brulee man comes.
Now it's the Silicon Valley of food, yeah.
It is. Modern organic Filipino cuisine. That's that truck. Only in San
Some
Francisco.
Of them try
I can't wait to do a cooking show here.
Organic
balut. You put a little miniature kitchen in the studio. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you see on Sunday, Robert Scoble was on, and he's writing a book on Google Glass. And apparently got more access to glass than most of us. Was able to try
Robert sees the world differently at all times.
Well, he's an enthusiast. So I always, you know, he loves everything. So I know when he, you know, just because...
Until he hates it.
Right. It's just because Robert says it's great doesn't mean it's great. But he was waxing on and on about Google Glass, and he says it works. It does what you might think. For instance, that field trip program that you're excited about, Robert, imagine that's on your glasses.
Yeah, but Lord help us when the politicians walk around with these things.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
Thank
you
gave me a $178 donation last week. I also love your mother's alma mater.
Exactly. They're practically doing that already.
Automated sincerity.
You should see the text messages I get from Barack these days.
No, but listen, I want to agree on one thing for Robert, okay? From now on, a year after Robert is really excited about any app, we're going to have to make him like start reusing apps that he recommended a year later and relive his own recommendations.
Nothing wears out faster than a Robert Scoble app. I don't know. I think Glass has a lot of potential. We'll see. He does not have it yet, but he was able to play with it a little bit more.
I was going to ask if he has them.
Like you and me. He's got his number. He's got a low number. Okay. Yeah.
You've got to live with something like that day in and day out, don't you really? I think
my big problem is I have prescription glasses.
Well, they're going to solve that. In fact, supposedly, you'll go to your optometrist and he'll say, would you like that with or without glass?
Oh, I would like to have Robert's wife, Marianne, on sometime. I would just like to thank her and just say, you know, Mrs. Goble, you're the most patient, understanding woman I've ever.
I mean, this feels like it could be kind of Bluetooth headsets all over again. That you with Bluetooth headsets, I don't know about over
so
here,
annoying.
But you just look a complete prat
walking
around with one of these headsets on. And I just think, unless the glasses look just like the pair of glasses I'm wearing now, no different whatsoever, you're going to look like an idiot. And also, the other thing is, I've got a feeling when you're having conversations with people, it's going to feel like you're not giving them
your attention. No, they're
looking
off to your left. Yeah. So we'll look at the screen about what that says about what you're saying.
So basically, you seem totally disinterested in whoever you're talking
but
to.
But aren't people already doing that where they walk around with their... I mean,
yeah, better than looking down at your phone.
Go downtown. Just look. Nobody's looking at anything. They're all looking at their phone.
Yeah, but downtown in San Francisco.
No, not in wherever the hell you're from.
No, in the middle. They don't even know what phones are where I come from.
You really are from the...
Oh, I'm totally out of the stick. When I take out my iPhone, they call it the magic box.
No.
No, I'm making it up. But...
You're going to capture my soul.
Yeah.
No, and that's what's nice about a really big phone like the Note 2. You can really get lost in it as you walk, you walk into trees. It feels like it's getting a little bit like the clergyman in the 18th century. You walk around with a prayer book constantly.
Isn't there an app, actually, that allows you to read email and stuff but shows the camera view?
There is.
So that you can see where
that
you're going.
That seems very dangerous.
That's who Microsoft is. They're the Gideons.
They're the Gideons. A Bible in every hotel room. Windows 8 in every pot. Let's see. What else? Anything more about the Google announcement? I think not. Did you see that a Google employee left the Nexus 4 in a bar?
Oh, that brings back memories.
Yeah. Actually, I was waiting for somebody to do that as a PR strategy.
Maybe.
Because that is the way to launch a phone, because it would get all the attention.
You want coverage? Sure.
I think they should have left them in about 100 bars as their launch announcement, because that would actually work making it look intentional.
Not for sale.
I'm not
kidding.
Special
secret Google Project 194. That is a good idea.
It's a good PR stunt, that would be.
Good market.
I would have left it in the exact one over in Walnut Creek or wherever that poor kid left it.
Yeah. So the Nexus 4, $299, November 13th availability. Where is it going to be? It's from Google, so I guess it's T-Mobile or AT&T.
You drive by directly from Google. AT&T is the only one that's going to sell it. There's a controversy because it doesn't have LTE, and some believe that's Google kowtowing, caving to the phone companies for not including LTE.
T-Mobile is going to have an unlocked $199 version with a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
But no LTE. I just don't know if I want to go T-Mobile again. Don't you feel like...
I'm using my Nexus on AT&T, except for right now during the storm... it works pretty darn well.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say for the UK listeners that it's going to be exclusive to O2, because you always say
we
the
don't US. Know. That's why we're
it
living in
here,
a country that's
it's exclusive to the O2. It says here
we're bordered by water all around, and the people in the other countries are far away.
They talk funny.
We are
they
a very long way away.
Far away.
You know, we should mention something. I was in O2, Europe
exclusive.
The last 2 weeks in Dublin. We were there for a conference. You can buy a €20 all-you-can-eat SIM.
That's from 3.
Yeah.
3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put it in your Verizon iPhone 5.
Yep.
That's unlocked.
Unlocked.
And there's a
Heathrow. So can you get a nano SIM?
No, you just take the little, clippers and
trim
that down.
I have a nano SIM cutter, yeah.
But also...
that makes me nervous, though, because it cuts some of the metal on the contacts.
It's pretty tolerant, though, because up to the metal, you're fine.
There's a lot of redundancy.
There's a vending machine that sells data SIMs in Heathrow. It's a vending machine.
I love it.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not the same in other European countries. I wish it were.
No, they're getting better on that slowly. They've now kind of capped how much people are allowed to charge European countries.
Right, that's right.
So that's
right.
Better than
the roaming has gotten cheaper, yeah. I'm looking forward to... Now, when I get to... Maybe somebody in the chat room could help me when I get to Australia on Tuesday. And I will bring an iPhone 5 so I can pop a nano SIM. Will I be able to do the same thing with Telstra or... one of the Australian carriers? I'd like to. That'd be great. 3 is a... Are they like a budget carrier? What's the deal with
that? No, 3 they're kind of... They haven't got the same reach as the other.
They're
the
T-Mobile or Sprint of the UK.
Yeah, so they tend to do really good deals.
They're also unlimited data for £20.
They're very focused on data. That's their big thing.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant deal. I'm going to move my wife across onto that deal. My son is on it at the moment.
Yeah.
Which he loves. He never makes calls, but he uses loads of data.
So the reason no LTE is because Google wants, of course, to control software, no carrier intervention. And there's no LTE carrier, apparently, will go for it. Verizon and Sprint say there's no such thing as an unlocked CDMA device. We're not going to do it. AT&T, which is GSM, is on different frequencies. So Google would have to build a custom phone for the U.S. as opposed to worldwide. And if AT&T won't subsidize it, it doesn't make any financial sense to do it. Andy Rubin calls the lack of LTE a tactical issue and also cites cost and battery life as another reason not to support LTE.
So I have HSPA Plus.
Which, you know, is not, the truth is not all that bad on T-Mobile if everybody, I saw actually a speed comparison in New York since the storm, and a lot of people using other carriers, T-Mobile, nobody has a T-Mobile phone, so they were actually getting much better performance on T-Mobile, even though it wasn't LTE.
Did you see in the chat room they just said that 3 is in Australia?
Ah!
So there you go.
And I have a nano SIM cutter I'm going to bring with me. That'll get through the TSA.
Do that live.
Where do you buy a nano SIM cutter?
Somebody brought it to me. I think you can buy it online.
Most of the
Did you declare that as income? On your taxes. So, you know, you have to report that stuff.
It's only 50 cents.
I have a question for Gina, if I may. Gina, since you're a developer, what's your view on Android, you know, the fragmentation, the different resolutions? Is that, like, it feels like it's not becoming any less of a problem.
It's not. I mean, you generally, when you build your app, you have a lot fewer people using the most recent version of Android. I started doing mobile development on Android, so I was always thinking about different resolutions, different screen resolutions, different versions, whether or not the device had a keyboard or not, whether or not it had data or not. I was always kind of thinking about all those options. I think a lot of other folks started on iOS and were so used to, you know, everyone being on, you know, the majority of their users being on the latest version and it being one device to target, that the transition to Android was more painful for them. I mean, I don't know. I come from a web development background where, you know, I started on the web when there were lots of different browsers and we were writing, you know, crappy JavaScript to detect which browser you were using and you had to think about targeting different versions. So it didn't feel that different to me on Android. It's painful. It's something that Google really has to remedy. I think that they're doing that in part by building up the Nexus line. I've been a huge fan of the Nexus line since the very beginning. And I basically, the Nexus phones are the only ones, devices are the only ones really that I get excited about buying because I feel like I know I'm going to get the latest updates. I know I'm going to see the latest Android. But as a developer, it's painful. They need to do a better job of getting people upgraded faster. But for me, it hasn't been as big a deal. I think other mobile developers, especially those who started on iOS and came to Android, feel like it's a much bigger problem.
Yeah.
I think it's also an issue where you've got future devices. As a new device comes along, that's another screen resolution, another setup that you've got to worry about. And so it gets quite expensive for people that are, you know, hiring these or you're paying for these apps that they've got to keep upgrading. Which is why a lot of companies now are looking, you know, at responsive design and being web-based in order to solve this problem. Of course, that comes with lots of limitations to it as well, the biggest one being speed at the moment. But that's another way of dealing with it, because with responsive design, you're not designing for any specific device or any specific screen size. You're building something that essentially responds to whatever size you're currently working on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Responsive design is great for web development, and I think that the tools that Google provides, you know, for making your app work across different layouts are actually quite good. I mean, with the iPhone, you know, when the iPhone 5 came out, I had to make a new bitmap image that would perfectly fit the new 4-inch screen.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the launch app is a particular, you know, image, a bitmap, and on Android, it's like you provide assets for different resolutions, and yeah, that's a pain. A friend of mine just ported her iOS app to Android, and she, you know, tweeted out the list of all the sizes of all the images that she had to create. She's like, this is crazy. It keeps designers in business, and it's a little bit of a pain, but the tools are getting better. And
I haven't done any Android development myself. Does it suffer from the same problem you get with iOS that the actual applications become quite big because they're holding all the graphics for the different resolution sizes?
Yeah.
So you have this, you know, this problem, which is going to be an issue with people that have got low-end devices without a lot of storage. Suddenly apps are getting so much bigger.
Yeah, that is. That's why things like new Android with user switching, if one user downloads an app and installs it, and you know, plays the game and has a high score, and you switch to the new user and that person wants to install that app, it does it instantaneously. It uses all the files that are already on the phone with separate user settings. So that was a nice implementation of that. But yeah, that is a problem.
So Linus, I like Linus's idea that we should have a standard resolution for laptops of now 2560 by 1600. I wonder if we could do the same for phones. No, I guess we can't, because there's 4x3, there's 16x9.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
It be nice, though, to have
it'd make my job a lot easier, but I don't think it's particularly feasible, unfortunately, because, you know, there are always going to be people that are interested in different size screens, and you're going to end up people with a very large screen but a really low resolution on it. And
Google, the other last domino falls, Google signs finally with Warner Music, which means now it has all the big four record labels, not just in the U.S., but globally. Green Day, Madonna, Neil Young, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, now on Play. Also coming November 13th, Google Play available matches in Europe. That's just for you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. That's
I have two teenagers at home. I have to say the biggest surprise I've seen in the last year, besides my kids almost and all their friends stop using Facebook and almost all go to Twitter exclusively.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
But the other thing is my kids and all their friends do it. They're sitting there playing Xbox. My kid has his MacBook laptop open, and all their music is being listened to through YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah. My kids.
No
too.
Spotify. YouTube. No iTunes. All YouTube.
YouTube.
Spotify's more common in the UK, unsurprisingly, but they do, a lot of, they have the videos running in the
background. I love Spotify, but YouTube has such a huge amount of attraction with kids.
So are they making playlists of music videos? Is that what's happening?
No, because I think they're just using their browser history, because kids tend to listen to like the same 10, 20 songs.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're able to use Facebook in the background and switch it.
And they're not looking at the pictures. They're just listening to music.
I don't know this for sure, but I think what happened is Google worked it out with the music company saying, listen, if we increase the quality of the audio in the YouTube video, it used to be crappy.
Right.
If we increase the audio, we'll keep the kids in the browser. You'll get all the data with us, and we'll advertise to them, not just on interstitials, but on banners on the side. Mm. And I will tell you, I had a 25-year-old hipster yesterday in the Bay Area who told me, YouTube's not doing that well. I'm like, dude, you're old school, man, because my kids, all they listen to is through YouTube. And that really surprised me. And I think that's just the beginning of, you know.
Yo, I'm with you. I took the Google TV out of the television system because it was just causing problems. And my son said, hey, Dad, what happened to that thing that let us watch YouTube? They were put on a 60-inch TV. They would just sit around, five guys, 18-year-olds, watching YouTube. And it was a lot of it was music, but a lot of it was also grind shots. I mean, it was a variety of.
I mean, my 9-year-old son doesn't watch TV at all anymore.
It's YouTube.
It's just YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to merge YouTube with Google Hangouts. So the big.
Well, they already have. You can do a Google Hangout where you're playing videos for each other. You can already do that.
That, I think, I don't think the teenagers have discovered that yet. Yeah. I think part of the reason they've jumped to Twitter, my guess, is partly just the iOS integration and celebrities that they follow using it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've almost all stopped using Facebook.
I would guess your teens are not talking on Twitter. They're mostly seeing celebrities.
No, they're talking. I've had to kind of talk to my kids saying, you guys, Twitter's like all public. This is not like your Facebook feed, you know, where your stuff is only seen by your friends.
Yeah, that's weird.
So
that's not good.
Yeah. That Snapchat is the thing, though, that they're all using now.
Snapchat.
Google that. Snapchat is the hottest thing for teenagers right now. This basically is disposable text messages. It's in the app.
Oh, and they're having fun.
You send a photo. You send a photo. And these kids are sending every 60 seconds. I think it's stupid, but I've also learned not to judge teenagers.
So it's on Google Play or on the App Store. So it's
when you send a text message or a picture, it is erased off the other person's phone. So it could be used for obviously less savory, unhealthy things for teenagers to do that they are known to do.
Wait a minute, it's photo sharing.
So if I send you a photograph,
I'm going to install this thing.
I can then delete the photograph that you.
No, it's automatically. It only lasts for 12 seconds. It's like it's like the O'Reilly Ignite conferences.
Yeah, this has only got one.
Look at it now or never.
Yeah. It's like disposable.
No wonder those girls are shocked.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Look, what do you think they're looking at? Take a look at that.
My kids just show me what they're doing. A lot of times they're riding in the back of the car and they literally just do like 10 per minute. They're just constantly doing it. Yeah.
That's bizarre. I can't even see the
This is how fast we become obsolated, all right? Like, you need This Week in Teenagers because there's a whole other universe of content.
No, I don't want to because it won't be Snapchat next week. So what's the point?
Well, Scopel should host it.
Scopel. He never even heard of Snapchat.
Yeah.
I'm downloading it now. I'm going to Snapchat Scopel. Of course, he'll be on there already.
I just saw an article yesterday. So somebody just covered it. They either raised money, but they're building a pretty big thing.
Real-time picture chatting. Five stars.
Somebody in the JoJo in the chat room has said a really good thing, which is, okay, it might only be there for 12 seconds, but you can take a screenshot in 12 seconds.
Right.
That's what these teenagers don't know.
Yeah. They're going to learn that the hard way.
Wow.
No, actually, they disabled the screenshot.
Ah.
I tried to test it. They actually disabled that while the app was running.
I just didn't know you could do that.
This released 3 days ago? This has updated.
No, this has been up. This has been my kids have been doing it for at least 3 months.
Right.
Yeah. It looks like the Android version.
Yeah, I agree. If you look at the Android version and the installs, it's like a day. And
it's 1 day and it's 100,000 to 500,000.
Oh, yeah. They must have just launched the Android version then. Yeah. It's been on iOS for about 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Make that 100,000 one, baby. I'm going to Snapchat you, baby.
Yeah, why don't you Snapchat, like, you know, from your Australian cruise?
I will. I'm going to Snapchat. So can you do group or is it just one person?
Yeah, I think it's like a group thing. You know, I mean, these WhatsApp and these other kind of text messaging apps.
I use that.
This is the iteration of that flavor, which has been kind of popular. I mean,
it's definitely teenage colors, purple and yellow. No adult would want a color like that.
Show the designer.
If you look at it in the App Store as well, the sample screens that they show have all got, you know, attractive young teenage girls jumping around on it. So it's very well told.
Wait a minute. My son is on it.
Your son's on it.
Holy cow.
This is the awkward portion.
Awkward. Awkward.
Sexting.
Wait a minute.
The sexting app.
Yeah. Lisa's on it, too. What the hell? And Apple Computer is on it.
No, that's just all of your... It's just an accidental contact.
No, it says friends on Snapchat.
Oh, right, yeah.
Kevin Rose.
He's probably an advisor investor.
And Steve Wozniak's on it.
I don't want to see that.
That's quite terrifying, that thought.
All right, so now I get a picture, and I'm going to take a picture of you and Gina. And now where does it go? Send it.
It goes to your two friends.
Team Snapchat or anybody I add. I see. All right. And then, but they get it. You don't have do you have it on your phone?
No.
No.
I'm installing right now.
Are you? Okay, Gina, just tell me what your username is. As soon as you have it, I'll send you a picture.
Okay.
Is it going to be Gina Trapani?
Yeah.
You could also type it in the Google Doc chat if you don't want it to be public.
Too late. All right. Just tell me when you're signed on. I'm Leo Laporte.
Okay. It's installing.
You're going to get the worst picture.
Do you have to accept people? Or does it just go to them? We're completely derailed.
They'll have to accept.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you
Otherwise, anybody could send you anything. You've just announced your ID.
Yeah. You're ready for some snaps, Leo.
So what you're saying is this is the chat roulette of text messages. All right, I've added you, F and Dunn. Send me some texts. All right. So I'm going to send that to you, F and Dunn. And now,
I'd like to apologize for all your viewers. We're just completely hijacking this afternoon.
And who's Team Snapchat?
I'm not an investor, by the way. I have no stake in any of this.
Press and hold.
I think Kevin Rose is an advisor, though, or something.
See, they sent me a little welcome. That's why Kevin's on it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's too old for this now.
I sent all you right, something.
I'm on.
All right, Gina, I'm going to see this. I'm going to add you now.
Oh, boy.
This is so much fun. This is television history, baby. All right, send that to Gina.
Oh yeah, they launched an Android yesterday. That's why they're.
Yeah, this is new on Android. So this is completely appropriate for this show.
Not at all a stretch.
Not at all a stretch.
Plug yours in for like real time screen sharing of that.
All right. See, and I could send it to Gina, and I'm gonna send it to my son and Kevin Rose, and really confuse the hell out of them.
Your son will now. Drop Snapchat.
Yeah.
Immediately.
That's it. Now it's dead to him.
Immediately. So I just sent that picture to you guys. That's interesting.
Yeah. That's how protect your kids is you join the services that they join, then they're off.
Yeah. No, they won't do it.
There it is.
So it works. But it's, now
is he going to hold it up and see how long before it gets deleted?
And then it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that quick.
Yeah. So you tapped it. Oh, that's interesting. So you have to tap it, you tap and hold, and then it's just gone. All right. I like it.
TechCrunch says it's not sexting. So there you go.
But if they say it, it's got to
be true. If they say it, it must be true.
Yeah. And you can set how long it lasts, how many seconds it lasts.
Up to 10 seconds. So yeah. It can't go past 10 seconds. That's insane.
Huh. Interesting.
As someone who is obsessed with saving our web history, this drives me a little crazy.
Yeah.
I want that.
It was created by a Stanford college kid, Evan Spiegel.
I do find
it
fascinating.
That's a really important point, Gina. That's really, really important, I think, now to go up in the clouds, which we tend to do once in a while. But I think that this idea that something is public and permanent, this is probably your answer to privacy, but it's really a shame and a tragedy that you have no record of things.
Well, I would love to hear Dana Boyd's take on this. But it's clear that what's happening is that kids are going, oh, God, this stuff lives forever. And that's why they're gravitating to this. Oh, this doesn't live hardly at all. It's the mayfly of photo sharing.
But it is fascinating as well that the number of apps that exist that place limitations on you and that actually that becomes their selling point. Right. So Twitter, 140 characters, this, you know, it's only there for 10 seconds. Even Instagram that, you know,
There's too much freedom.
It is iambic pentameter.
I don't like freedom. It's too much. It's too complicated.
Too much. You should move to France.
In France, they had freedom. All right, I just want to briefly show, since we were talking about, we're going to take a break, then we're going to come back with your tip and number, and I'll have a tool for you, although I think Snapchat's a pretty good tool. I got my bespoke post box. Do you know about this? This is kind of fun. This is a whole trend in Manhattan.
It's a surprise box?
Yeah.
It's a Snapchat of in-home delivery retail. You don't know what you're going to get.
You subscribe for somebody. It's a good thing for a geek, because you don't want to give geeks gadgets, because they already know what they want. You don't want to do that. So this one is coffee, but every month it's a different package. So I got some, artisan beans. I've got a ceramic burr grinder, hand grinder. Have you ever used this, the AeroPress, the Arabi AeroPress? This is the best way to make coffee.
No, but I was following your whole thing about which machine you bought.
Yes, I love the one I got, by the way, the Breville dual boiler. This is a little less than that.
I ran the math on it. Two lattes a day or two household family. Okay, two lattes per person with a two-person, that's four lattes a day. A $1,200 espresso machine pays for itself in about 3 or 4 months.
Okay, Leo, the big question I have is what do you think of the new Starbucks machine?
The Clover? No, I'm not a fan.
No. We did that, you and I.
Oh, the new machine is junk.
It's a pod machine.
Nobody who loves coffee would ever consider pods.
Oh. Excuse me.
Please.
Now, every company, I don't know, it wasn't one King's Lane, but a company tried to do this where you pay a fee. It was the shoe company, Shoe Dazzle, I think.
Yeah, Dazzle.
They would send you stuff.
And they were subscription, and then they said, huh.
It didn't work. It didn't work really well. I think the problem is because it's like a regression to the mean. They have to. It's like the wine
Alexia
club
Alexia Tsosis was mad, though, because she apparently had quite a few. You pay $39 a month. And you build up credits. I think they went to subscription from an... I can't remember. But yeah, they had to change their model.
Yeah, well, the idea of a grab bag you get every month, inevitably, it's going to regress to the mean, and you're going to be disappointed with 78% of the stuff you get. And you're
You don't have to do it. Yeah. You don't have to. You can know ahead of time. I think this is cool. We'll see. They had socks, shaving gear. It's for men.
I love the idea of it.
I love it, too.
Companies have to be really rigorous on, you know, what they're curating for it.
It's curation, isn't it? That's what it is.
We're all lazy. That, by the way, this same-day delivery, the backlash against that will be the carbon output of everybody getting in-home delivery. Right. It'll have to be
If this truck is going around anyway, then it's not a big deal.
I agree. It'll be a train.
It'll be a little train. I want a box on my porch and tracks in front.
Well, it'll go to that, where you'll have a little thing go by, and it'll be on the schedule.
It could be electric. You know, they make these electric, Ford makes that electric transit car that just goes around town.
I want a monorail.
Monorail.
Now that Disney owns Lucasfilm.
What do you think of that?
First of all, the whole circular completion, the fact that Jobs bought Pixar from Lucas, became the biggest shareholder of Disney, and now Lucas is like the second biggest shareholder of Disney. I think that's quite poetic. I think frankly, Lucas, after Jar Jar Binks, deserved to lose control of his own franchise.
Yeah.
He's
retiring, basically. Yeah, he's saying, I'm going to sell it to somebody who will keep it alive. But somebody had a very good idea, because Disney also owns Marvel. And what we really want to see is Hulk taking Jar Jar and going, boom, 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 boom. And I think that would be – I just go see that for 2 hours.
If I trusted anybody, I'd give – who knows? Maybe even Pixar will get a crack at some stuff. But I like the idea of them rejuvenating some Star Wars action.
You know, to be honest, it can't be any worse than –
No, it'll be better. They'll get Chris Nolan. They'll get great directors. Fincher. They'll do something really interesting.
That's what I think will happen. John Favreau was awesome as the director of Iron Man.
Yeah, exactly. Disney. They're content guys. By the way, this is the future of home delivery, and I plan to have this soon, is pneumatic tubes. We want to put this here in the brick house. You know, you put the thing in a tube.
Oh, you're so steampunk. Yeah. You're a steampunk before steampunk.
I worked at newspapers that had that.
Yeah, it works good, doesn't it?
So we sent it to the composing room.
Yeah. Right?
You can always blame it when it got stuck.
You roll up the thing.
Yep.
Yeah, everything has to fit in a tube. That's the only negative. You put it in the tube. Yeah. You close it. You put it.
Boom. You can put some very creative things in tubes, Leo. We learned that late at night.
He sent a cheesesteak sandwich through the pneumatic tube is not a good idea. I wonder if MythBusters ever did anything with a pneumatic tube.
What, wasn't that how mail was delivered all around the city of Paris, under the streets?
Pneumatic tubes, only in Paris.
Like, that's probably how they still expect data to move there.
I'm trying to find. There's
nobody's
still
made an internet tubes joke yet.
Oh, I was thinking about
you
it.
You all but had it on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. You all missed it.
There are many companies still making these pneumatic tube systems.
Well, I guess they exist. I mean, I can't. They always used to exist before email, didn't they, for moving memos around? So what do they get used for? Oh, money.
Drive
us at banks. We have one over here. You can't use it, but it's there. It's just sitting there waiting for somebody. Instructables. They did. Pneumatic soda can cannon. Okay. It was. I knew that MythBusters would have done something like that. That's hysterical. Gina Trapani, I don't know what happened to me. Hey, do you got a tool for us there?
I have a tip of the week. I have a lot of friends and family on the coast near where Jeff is. Some in New Jersey, some in New York. There's still a lot of power outages around that area after Hurricane Sandy. And of course, Google set up a crisis map for Sandy pretty quickly. And they have power outage information on that crisis map now. It's kind of a layer that you can enable. It's kind of helpful. I mean, you can zoom in on the area if you have friends or family that you want to check in on. I'm trying not to text people because I know they're trying to save their batteries on their phones. But you just want to see the status of where they're at power outage-wise. There are links to the local power company there. So I was zoomed in on New Jersey and I looked at it's PG&E. Is that who it is, Jeff?
Yes. PG&E, really?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Pacific. It's something else.
And, you know, sometimes the sites are slow because there's lots of people checking on the status. But if you're interested to know who's still in the dark for Hurricane Sandy, Google's crisis map is at google.com.
It's apparently down.
google.org/crisis map.
That's so weird. How could it be down?
5 minutes ago it was up. So I don't know. Maybe Twig just took it down. But there's power outage information there and some more information.
They're Snapchatting the crisis map, though. They're giving it up to 11 seconds.
I should check to see if I've...
Google's crisis map was really, really good. Being able to see where the storm was, what was happening in one spot. It was a very good effort, I would say.
Yeah, what did you use, Jeff, to figure out where to go and where you...
There was nothing. There was nothing. And the problem was that we lost... I guess I'll go in the numbers now. There's 2.6 million of us in Jersey without power.
Wow.
And
wait a minute. YouTube is down and Gmail is down.
What?
Oh.
Google.com's up.
I was trying to go to YouTube. Both of us were trying to go to YouTube and it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I thought it must be a local disruption, but the chat room's reporting
Gmail
it too.
Is down.
Google's down.
Whoa.
My Gmail's working.
Oh, YouTube has just
YouTube,
come up for me.
HTTP 1.1.
It's up and down. It's up and down.
You know what? Apps is working, but Gmail's...
No, regular Gmail is down right now.
Holy this is Gmail.
Holy cow.
They're listening to us.
Yeah. I can't remember a Google Wide outage ever.
Yeah, that's crazy. It must be. My email is stuck on loading.
Check Google Wave.
What does Buzz say?
Google Wave. That's just the only mean, person Robert. That was.
Hey, you don't know how cruel it is, Robert.
Hey, you know, I spent years inside Best Buy telling Google, I'm practically a Google employee, a mole for you. I'll put Android across every device we sell, Chrome OS on every laptop. I got nothing. Now they're dead to me.
Fair enough.
There are some, I'm looking at the Internet Weather Report. There are some servers and routers down, of course, in the East Coast, quite a few. I have to think it must be related to Sandy.
I'm using my Gmail. It seems okay. YouTube is definitely down. I'm getting service unavailable. But Gmail, I'm okay.
What's the app status dashboard say?
Yeah, the app status dashboard says everything's green, but that's obviously not right.
Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, seems to be. It seems to vary.
So app status dashboard's down.
Right.
Yeah, you would think.
Halloween. They went trick-or-treating.
Actually, it is. I think it might be down.
It seems like it varies in different parts of the world.
Yeah, there's
actually
no history on the app status dashboard that's showing.
Now, if you had a Chromebook, Jeff, you'd be screwed.
I'd be screwed. That's true, but I'd be no more screwed than I am now, Leo, which is really kind of the point.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I'll segue into the number. So 2.6 million of us without power. I have the cell coverage is very, very bad, worse than usual, not just because people were using it, I think because a lot of those cell towers probably lost power. And, you know, it occurred to me that when we built the POTS system, the plain old telephone system, there was an expected up expectation to the system and the way it was engineered. It was a monopoly that did it, and there was a safety issue. And, you know, we've chosen not to invest in infrastructure to that extent. And one realizes ever more how dependent we are. I mean, we've gone through only a hundredth of what people went through in Katrina here, though the shore here is in disaster. 2.6 million of us are without power. It's amazing. I'm on the air right now thanks to the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation in Morristown, New Jersey, which is a pocket of electricity in the otherwise powerless state. And, you know, I spent yesterday with neighbors of mine tearing down trees, trying to get out of the neighborhood, which is also how I'm here because we were stuck. You don't want to see me with a chainsaw, by the way. If you, Leo, I put up the link. If you look at my Google Plus feed,
I can't
get
to it because it's on the Google Doc, which is down.
It's down.
By the way, this is the page. This is the page I'm getting right now when I go to Google Drive.
If you go to
502, what is a 502?
That's only Google has them. Go Google Plus. Is Google Plus up?
Nope. I just died.
I have to say, this is a huge story.
I haven't seen this much down in a long time.
This is gigantic.
The data center. You know why data centers have it on the East Coast started running out of power or whatever, and backups.
But isn't Google spread a little bit more widely than just the East Coast?
Yeah, but they may have to replicate certain things across distances. Yeah. And at some point, though, you know.
It's a cascading failure.
Maybe a cascading thing.
Yeah, you get people getting moved.
That's my guess. I'm talking
over
my
ass. If you go to the Google, search Google on Twitter, it's going nutty.
This is Google Plus, I get this, which is all Google accounts are down.
I'm seeing messages on Google across all languages. Spanish, Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere.
German.
Holy cow. I wonder if this. Wow.
Twitter is
down,
going
down in Japan, according to our chat room.
So I got Google Plus back. Here's the images.
It's up. It's up and down.
Yeah, it's going around.
Which
Samantha tweets says the world is ending. People, Google is down.
Holy cow!
The question, so which is more shocking, Google going down or Sandy? I don't know. I mean, they're equally, you know, traumatic.
Yeah, it's all right to have a hurricane, but if Google's down, I'm pissed.
Yeah, I mean, that's serious.
People don't die when Google's down.
Now we're postponing the election.
That's true.
So if others want to try, you can go to downforeveryone or justme.com, and it looks like mail.google.com is down for everyone.
Wow.
Please.
But I think what you see when you see these is intermittent outages up
exactly.
and down because Google has many more than one server or NOC. But maybe if North Carolina went down, then the Oregon data center gets hit hard and then that one becomes intermittent. And wow, that's really kind of shocking.
I've never, they're architected in such a way. This is, this is a big story.
And developing story. We'll continue to cover it. And, of course, my Google Drive does sync, so I can open the Google Drive folder, and I can, I believe, see whatever was most recently.
Yeah, I mean, if you have offline enabled.
Well, wait a minute, though. It tries to open a Google spreadsheet. You know, see, this is why. So you double-click it. Yes, I have the file, but thank you. The iPad's still working.
We're sorry.
Wow. Anyway, so my pick is still up, I think. I voted today because, you know, in California, if you want to mail your ballot, today's the last day to mail it and be sure it gets there by election day. And, of course, I'm going to be in Australia. Actually, I'm going to be on a plane during the election. But I was desperately trying to figure out how the hell we have 11 ballot measures in the state of California intentionally written to confuse the voter. You know, yes is no and no is yes. They do this every election season. And I was looking for a good place to find kind of a summary of everything. And I found a great site, ballotpedia.org. I'm not sure who does this, but it's based, of course, on Wikimedia. And it is a nonpartisan collection of information for not just this election, but previous elections. I went to the state of California, and I was able to see, in my case, all the ballots, but not just measures, but not just the ballot measures, but how much had been spent before, for and against, who spent money on it. Who's in favor of it, even summaries of the editorial positions from a variety of California newspapers. It comes from the ballot pamphlet, which I already have, but then there's a lot more. It's kind of combining that with things like who gave money, how much money, and so forth. And I find that just a very quick and easy way to figure out which way I want to vote on a proposition. Really nicely done using the Wikipedia model to provide information about an election. We have a very complicated election in California. I imagine that's true in many other states as well. And this is just really nicely done. It's ballotpedia.org. And I'm sure there are other sites. Of course, Google's own election site, when it comes back up, will be a great place to find
it. You know, Leo, I think it's all back up.
Wow, that was Google's Halloween scare. Holy cow.
Yeah, YouTube's back.
Everything I'm trying is back up.
Yeah, same.
Yep. I'd love to know what happened.
They rebooted the router.
This is the Sandy page that we were trying to get to in the beginning.
There it is, yeah. By the way, we didn't mention, but Google has a fun Halloween animation, at least in the U.S., on the front. Do you guys celebrate Halloween in the
UK? Well, we kind of do.
You know about it. It's a media.
We don't do it as well as you. You guys really know how to do Halloween. We just kind of throw eggs at old people's houses.
I don't have my audio again. It's gone doing that thing.
But we do have the same graphic as you on Google.
There you go. Okay. That's okay.
It's just in metric.
Halloween's an international language.
It's actually the imperial system.
Oh, yes.
Robert Stevens, it's so nice to meet you. Thank you very much for making your way up here. I'm sure it was not easy to do, but we're glad you were here.
I got in traffic because everybody's downtown for the Giants parade.
Those Giants, they won something. Some game happened.
Can someone explain to me why it's called the World Series? I'm very confused about this.
It's a small world.
Only if you could explain cricket to us.
Okay. No, I can't explain cricket because I don't understand cricket.
Okay. See?
No British person really understands cricket.
Well, it's probably true of baseball as well, to be honest. Anyway, we're glad you managed to get through the traffic and really appreciate your being here. We look forward to seeing what you start. Let us know.
Either can I.
You don't. You haven't. You're thinking though. Along some
lines, like dating somebody for 18 years. The last thing you should do is jump right into another relationship. You end up dating the same person that you just left. You know what I mean?
Spend some time with your kids.
Yeah, I might take a cruise in Australia pretty soon. I'm thinking about that.
I think there's still some room left if you'd like to come. InsightCruises.com. I don't think it's sold out. Believe it or not, it's going to be fun. We're going to see the total eclipse of the sun. We're going to be at sea for that.
Superb.
Google will be down for the entire.
Isn't
trip.
This December the end of the Mayan? Did we already pass the end of
No, that's December 21st. You got plenty of time. Okay. Plenty of time.
Good. Live it up. Thank you. Nice to finally see the
Great
brick house.
Great to have you. Thank you for coming up here.
Be well, Jeff. Hope you're doing well.
Thanks to
you
Paul.
You too, Robert.
To Paul Boag.
Thanks for coming on, Robert.
Yeah. Paul Boag from BoagsWorld.com, right?
BoagWorld.com, yep.
Boag, no S, world.com. And there's a great podcast. What is the podcast about? Tell us about that.
Oh, it's a web design podcast, basically. It's been going almost as long as you have.
You're not one of the quite. First, I remember. Yeah.
In the early days, and we haven't learned to quit yet. So it's an hour long of well, what was described recently on an iTunes review as constant drivel. So if you want constant drivel,
I can beat you for that.
And just a little bit of web design information, then it's worth checking out.
The drivel is constant at boagworld.com. Still drizzling in New York City. Thank you to the Gerald. Who is it? The Geraldine R.
Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation.
Dodge Foundation.
My friend Chris Daggett down the way. Yesterday we were cutting down trees, and today I'm here in power.
Wow, we're really glad. Maybe cook yourself a hot dog while you're there. Have a nice hot meal. So you're going home? Are you staying at home without the power?
I managed to get two nights in a hotel.
Okay.
And so when I'm going back there, and then we don't know. We're without anything. And the power, not only the trees are down. If you can now go to Google Plus, you can see the arbor side in my front yard. Not only are the trees down, but thus the power lines are down all over.
Right. And that's really the unexpected consequence of this, because when you had a lot of rain, those roots, the root beds get softened up. And
we didn't
the wind
have that much
comes.
Rain, but really? The wind was incredible.
Yeah, just blows
we
right
had a
over.
Tree hit the back of our house, very little damage. But yeah, it's fun.
This is normal. It's just that there's houses there now.
Yeah.
But in the old days, that was how they culled the herd.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, take care. We hope you'll be okay.
I'm delighted to have made it here.
Thank you, Gina Trapani, too.
And bon voyage, Leo.
Thank you. Yeah, I won't be back.
Yeah, have a wonderful trip.
I'm really looking forward to the Mac Mania 15 cruise. We're setting sail. We're doing a meetup in Sydney on November 6th.
I met some great folks in Sydney, thanks to Twig. I met some great folks there when I was through.
I'm sure
you'll meet a lot of the same folks. Yep.
I can't wait.
Fake Paul Keating is one of them.
If you want to get the details, we're going to be at a pub in the Rocks. And mactalk.com.au has details on the meetup, because they're going to be there as well. It's Melbourne Cup Day. Apparently there's a big horse race.
Oh.
And people are expected to be drunk early on. So I don't know what this is going to be like. Don McAllister will also be there from Screencasts Online. Allison Sheridan from Podfeet. And, of course, Mac Talk as well. We'll look forward to seeing you at I guess it's at the Rocks. Or it's at a pub near the Rocks. But details on mactalk.com/.au. And then we're trying to figure out a Brisbane meetup. But I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that, because I'm going to go see some koalas. And I think I'm going to be busy in Brisbane. But we'll do our best.
Is that the next Android version? Koala?
Koala. Not key lime pie. It's koala pie.
Kiwi.
Kiwi fruit syrup. And thank you, Gina Trapani. ThinkUp.com for the ThinkUp app.
And, thank you.
Todo.text and mm-hmm. smarterware.org and Etta.
Yeah, and in fact, I have a new story in Mark Romance, the magazine, the new issue about having Etta. So it's iOS only for sure for now. Sorry about that. But
and you have to buy it, right? There's no other way to see it, huh?
There's a free trial for a week. So if you have an iOS device, you can get the trial and read both issues. It's brand new. Yeah, it was kind of interesting experiment in publishing. I thought I'd
good
contribute. So
good.
There's that. Yeah.
Yeah. My free week has already expired.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'll pay a buck. Or? I guess I'll pay $1.99 to read yours.
It's like $2. Not too bad. There's a couple other good stories in there.
All right, thank you, Gina, Jeff, Robert, Paul. Thank you all for watching. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC. Stop by next week. Who do you know who's hosting, Chad?
Gina.
I think I am.
Yeah,
Gina Trapani.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh yeah.
So you're going to put together a unique panel of experts.
Temporary upgrade. Jeff, are you not going to be here the next week?
No, I'm going, as of now, depending upon travel at all and whether I have power or not. As of now, I'm in Baku in Istanbul, though that might change. But as of now, next week, then I'll be back the following week, and I'll be...
So, Gina, you're on your own. You're going to have to put together. Get Marco on. He won't be on with me, but maybe he'll do it with you.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
All right. Thank you all. We'll see you next time. I'll be back in a couple of weeks, the week after Thanksgiving, I guess, November 28th. For This Week in Google. Take care.